know that this series that we're doing, it's a series that I don't typically do things as serious as a series. If you've been a part of Women of Influence, I am a life coach and I love coaching you. I love giving you three skips and a jump. I love giving you all kinds of tools and resources to be the woman God's created you to be. And we've done that in just about every series we've done as Women of Influence. But when God started teaching me about the throne room, something shifted in my spirit. You know, I've grown up in the church. I've been a pastor for 40 years this year. And so I've done this a long time, guys. And I love the Word of God, and I believe God. I've studied the Word of God, but things have so shifted in my spirit when it comes to understanding the deeper things of God. And whether it be a prayer walk or my prayer room or my prayer rock, I just keep pushing in and keep pushing in and keep pushing in. And it's like the Word of God, it says that it's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It literally has become alive to me. And so when I began to study things in the throne room, they became real personal experiences to me. And I want to give you the best way that I can explain what happened so that when you begin to study the Word, it comes alive to you. They are experiences. They are visions. They are pictures. So when I show you what's in the throne room, I want you to have these elements that the Bible tells us is in the throne room so that when you sing the songs we sang tonight, you begin to see it. You see the thunderbolts and you see the throne and you see the sea of glass and you see the rainbow because you've so been in the book of the Revelation, you've so been in Isaiah 6, you've so been in Ezekiel 1 that you see these elements. You see these things the Bible tells us so that when we get to that throne room and you take your last breath here on earth, you're not surprised by what you're going to see. Oh, there it is. There's the throne. There's the crystal sea. There's the thunder. There's the lightning. There's the cherubim. I want you to know what you're getting ready to experience. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience it. Literally, when I am in my place and praying, and I am in that throne room, because I've studied it and I see it, it comes to life to me. Does that make sense to you? And so often this becomes a foreign book to us because we haven't had intimate experiences. So when I teach you tonight about worship, I want you to go into a deep place of worship. Yesterday in church, and worship is amazing in this church, and obviously Influence Music is great, and we come on Sunday mornings and we worship. But when we do access nights, like we did last night, and we do an hour and a half of just worship, it's as though I get alone with God, and He just gets everything that's Tammy out of me. And He begins to come into me with His fullness. And that's what happens when you begin to experience supernatural things with God. He shows you you, and He shows you Him. And you know the difference between the two. Amen. Okay, get your notes because we have a lot to cover tonight. Get your paper, get your pens because we're going to cover some things that I believe God's going to show you things that I don't say. God's going to give you insights, pictures, understanding through the Word of God that I didn't say, but He said. And that's a good word from God. In your notes, I start off with a passage, and we'll get to in a few moments in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4. But I want to start with the second passage, and it's a passage that's in Isaiah 6. So pop down in your notes with me to that passage. And those who are watching online, I believe that you have this. You can download this as well. In Isaiah, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. One had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory.'" We just sang that in Revelation song. That's exactly what we just sang. And he went on and he said, "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said," this is Isaiah saying, "I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And then one seraphim flew to me, and having his hand on a live coal he had taken from the tongs of the altar, he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. I want to unpack this passage in a way that I don't know that you've ever seen, in a way that I have never seen. The Bible starts off with this passage and says, Uzziah, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Uzziah was a good king. He was up there with King David. All of Israel loved him. He honored God. He was anointed. He did all kinds of things that were anointed by God until the end of his reign. And something like pride got in his head. He thought he was somebody he wasn't. He actually went into the temple and he acted like the priest, and he actually lit the incense. And God says, oh no, King Uzziah, that's designed for my priest, not my king. He disobeyed God, and God struck him with leprosy, and he ended out his days as a king with leprosy. And the problem was, everyone had so revered King Uzziah. He was the greatest king. He was like King David. Everyone loved him. And this is what Isaiah said. He loved the king. But listen to what the Bible says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What was the problem in Isaiah's life? He had the wrong king on the throne. All he could see was the king, the physical king. And it isn't until you get the physical kings off the throne that you will see the Lord. It's not until you get your flesh, your plans, your husband, your body, your house, your agenda, everything that's on that human throne that you're on, until you get it off the throne, you will never see the Lord. And God just kept saying to me, Tammy, you have so many thrones that are before me. You can't see me. We cannot see the Lord on the wrong throne. And he said he's broken. He's broken in this passage. You can feel it in him. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What needs to die in your life right now for you to see the Lord? I don't know, but you do know. And God will show you right now what it is. Some of you are young and you got some mighty plans out there. And those plans, you are on a fast track to those plans. And God might be saying, baby girl, that's not what I have for you. That's not what I have for you. Some of you are going with some boy you shouldn't be going with. That's not the plan. That's the throne I have, God. That's not his throne. You will never see the Lord with your agenda on your throne. It has to start off with getting the right king on the throne. And he goes on, and I love this. He said that he was lifted up high. And my question to you is, who are you lifting up high? This passage is pretty interesting because he said that the year that the King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the king here is King Uzziah. Now, here's what I want you to see here. The Lord, how many of you have a New King James or a King James Bible? That's kind of old school, all right? And with all of these new translations, it really doesn't show you this passage, but I'm going to show you something you may not see in your Bible. In the King James and the New King James, which comes from a different set of manuscripts than than the NIV and the Living and all those other ones, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is a picture in the original language of Yahweh, Lord. Later in verse 8, he says, the Lord said unto me, that is capital L, little O, little R, little D. Yahweh and Adonai. You have to know the difference in the two in the original language. Here's a picture that King Uzziah sees the Lord God. He sees the Lord God. And then later when his assignment comes as a prophet, the Lord Adonai speaks to him. Let me give you a couple illustrations. They're in your notes. In Psalm 8:1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? O Yahweh, our Adonai. O Yahweh, our Adonai. It's a picture of God the Father and Jesus right here. Lord and Lord. Again, in Psalm 110:1, our Lord, our Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. So listen to this. God is saying to Jesus, this is exactly, Yahweh is saying to Adonai. And here's what, listen, Yahweh is translated, I am who I am. This is God. This is God. Yahweh, God. Adonai, Jesus. Adonai means the superior and sovereign one. Jesus is your superior and sovereign one. He is your Adonai. In Psalm 110 again, he says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou here at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool." You have to understand that Isaiah saw God. Have you seen God? You can't be the same once you've seen God. And then later when his assignment comes to the prophet and he says, "Adonai has called me out," and I said, "Here am I, send me." You have to know God before you can have a kingdom assignment. And he's getting ready to have an experience like he's never had before. In verse 2, it says, "Above him were the seraphim, each having six wings." Now, it's important that we understand in our mind, we read things in the Bible, and because of Hollywood and everything out there, we get these pictures of these little cherubim and these seraphim. Let me tell you what, this was a created being that God created. He created every human being and every created being, and these are angelic beings in heaven that he created. You will see them when you get there. And they have six appendages. They have two arms or two wings, but higher and lower, and to cover the feet. Let's go ahead and look at this because it's so powerful. And it says, "With two, they covered their faces." Now get this picture of basically this kind of, I guess it's almost a bird that we can think of. And again, remember, when God creates things, he doesn't give us completely understanding. I keep going, "God, what does a seraphim look like? What does a seraphim look like?" And I see this creature that he made, and they have these six wings, and with two, he's covering his eyes, and with two, he's covering his feet, and with two, he's flying. Because when this seraphim comes before the throne of Almighty God, and that's what it says in Revelation, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, these created beings come before the throne of God. They're standing there looking at God. They're looking at God. We've lost this reverence and fear of God. You will not stand a second in the face of God and not know he's God. He is God, and this is a living creature. Look what he does. He covers his eyes because he's in the presence of God. He shields his eyes. There's a verse in Hebrews 1:3 that says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high," he had to cover his eyes because this bright light, when you are at the throne of God, the light is so bright. It's so piercing. It reminds me of the story of Saul when he was on the road to Damascus and he's persecuting all of the Christians. And this bright light came and he fell flat on his face and he said, "Lord," which if you read it is capital L, little O, little R, little D. Is that you, Jesus? Is that you, Adonai? "Lord, Lord, why have you persecuted me?" He is asking him. "Why have you persecuted me?" This voice is speaking. And he says, "Lord, is that you?" Do you remember what happens? He was struck with blindness. The light was so bright, he fell on his face. There are so many verses in the Bible when they have encounters with God that the light is so bright, they fall on their face. You can't get in his presence. It's so bright. The light is so bright. He is so bright. And I mean, have you had that encounter when you literally, everything is exposed about you because it's so, it's that the seraphim get in front of that throne and they have to cover their eyes because it's so bright. And he goes on and he says, "With two, they covered their feet." And I began thinking about Moses. And I thought about Moses as he was in the wilderness and he heard God's voice and he saw that bush, and that bush was burning. It was the light. The Bible says the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses walked over to see this thing, it says. How strange that a bush would be burning and not consumed. "Lord, is that you?" And he walks over to the bush and he says, "Lord, is that you?" And the voice said, "Moses, take off your sandals, for you are on holy ground." Let me tell you what, are you walking on holy ground? I mean, do you realize every step you take is holy ground? Do you realize every space God gives you is holy ground? Again, I see, and I ask myself, do these seraphim know something I don't know, God? What are they seeing I don't see? When I get in my prayer room and I get in my prayer closet and I was in the park today walking, and like I told you, I'm smart enough now to put in my earbuds because I'm like praying and people think I'm on the phone, so they don't think I'm crazy, you know, but I'm just like, God, I want to see it. I want to see it. I see it in the Word, and I have images and pictures of it, but I want to see you. I want to see your glory. Fill me with your glory. Make me different. Make me so irresistibly attractive that people say I want what she has. be so different, be that light. And when I come into that presence of that, like that seraphim did, I have to cover my eyes and I have to cover my feet. And with two, the Bible says they flew. In 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11, it says, and it happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. And today when I was praying, I said, God, I just want your glory to fill the house. I want something to happen tonight that just slaps you silly, that just slaps you silly, that you don't know it. You just meet yourself. You meet yourself. You meet the love that God created in you, and there's something different about you. That's the glory of the Lord. And it says it filled the temple. It filled the temple. And he says, and they were calling to one another, holy, 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 holy. There's no other word but holy, holy, holy. Why is it that we don't ever hear in the Bible love, 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 grace, 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 peace, peace, peace? You never see that repeated if any other word but holy. And every time it's holy, holy, holy. I believe one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit, because He is the Holy Trinity. Have you met the Holy Trinity? Are you saying holy? Have you gotten in the face of God and you just can only say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? I love this passage here. It says that the word, let me just give you this verse. The word holy actually means to cut away. So the original language, it means to cut away, to separate, to be separate from all others, to be consecrated. To where you put yourself on an altar and you let everything that doesn't look like Jesus burn away. Where literally when I look at myself, I see what makes me sick. And I ask God on the altar that He would burn away everything that doesn't look like Him, that I look like Him, that when I look in the mirror, I see Him.